breathing. When spirit leaves the body dies. And until then, each of us carries that divine spark of life, along with the power and the love that it holds, right inside of us. And because of that inner divinity, we can make a choice. We can discover the power to rise up out of depression, addiction, victimhood, or any other suffering that we've been participating in. There's never really anything that we need to get or gain in order to experience love or peace or joy or wholeness. There's only stuff to let go of, the stuff that has blocked our awareness of already having all of that living right inside of us. So we begin that journey each week on this show with a little music to uplift our spirits, to remind us of what is true and holy. There is also a Facebook page for this show called Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within, and we'd love to hear from you on that page. Tell us what you'd like to hear on the show. Send us your favorite music. And most importantly, tell us your story of growth and if you'd like to share it on the radio. We thank you so much for joining us, and we hope you stay tuned today as we explore practical ways to live a happier, healthier, more spiritually connected life. Here's some music to get us moving on that divine journey. Enjoy.
Who are you? A child of life.
What are you?
A daily expression of that life.
When is it?
Right now, forever will be.
Where?
Inside of me.
How?
Standing as one. One for humanity.
You accept
the
divine expression of the life.
We will stand as one for humanity. Forever will be. We will stand as one for humanity.
Standing as one.
Miracles happening all around us. An opening to the truth of love, to what's possible when we are aligned with our higher self, our highest self, and clear about who we are and what we desire. That's our focus every week. I am so delighted that you have joined us today. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to WAIF 88.3 FM in Cincinnati and live streaming at WAIF883.org. Our show is in the Divinity, and we're here every Wednesday, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, sharing with you the countless ways to live a happier and healthier life. My name is Sage Mullen, and I am, I'm a spiritual being in this human body, but on this earth, I am intuitive, a spiritual life coach, demonic priestess, and ordained minister. And we're going to be talking to a dear friend of mine today, Miss Patty Lightfoot. She's an amazing person to start with, and she's worked in the, or has lived in the energy of being a palm reader for over 30 years, and much, much more. And we're going to go deep into that discussion with her and bring her in a hot second. But I just want to take a minute to do the business of the day and remind everybody that we are a listener-supported station. And we are especially thankful for all of you out there who have supported Inner Divinity and, of course, the station. We support the community, and we are supported in return. So, we are going to be exploring the energy of Miss Patty Lightfoot. How are you, Patty?
I'm fine. Thank you, Sage, for having me here today.
I hear you. I hear you and I see you. I'm so excited. Excellent. I'm just going to dive right in. I do want to speak into the fact that I've had fun knowing you the past year, and I feel like the last couple of days when I was being professional, looking into your life, I was even more intrigued. I love your website and the things that you speak into. And today I want to really talk to you about all of that, but also dive into your personal story, because our listeners are like so intrigued when they can relate, like I do, my story to your story and where we've come from and how we've gotten to where we are in this lifetime. But I love how you define yourself as a healer, a researcher, a muse. I love that. It was like really cool. And maybe you could start out by elaborating on that. And my curiosity is where your spiritual foundation has come from under that 30 years of practice. So take it away.
A lot of paths to go down there, and I do tend to chase rabbits, and I was thinking as I came in today that you're going to have to keep me on path, because these days I go chase the rabbits and into the rabbit hole.
I love that.
Wonderland, so if you don't want to go to Wonderland, pull me back.
Love it.
the muse. The muse, that was the last you said, but the researcher and the muse. What was the other part? That's my most recent blog. What was the first
one? The healer, the researcher, and the muse. I think it's like because it combines how you look at everything, which is so deep and humble and strong. It's just very cool, very cool.
The healer, I feel I've brought in at the end. I wouldn't always have called myself a healer, nor would I think that I've ever been on a path with that as the focus to be a healer. I started out thinking more in terms of when I grow up, I'll be like a psychiatrist or an actress or an artist. And I think I have blended those.
You are all of those.
And I've always been into self-awareness, self-improvement. Who am I? Why am I here? I was adopted when I was 6 months old. I was raised in a very strict environment, small house, no room of my own. So always in search of my identity, my space, who am I? And being adopted, I was often told, we took you in when no one else wanted you. You'll never amount to anything. You're mine. Everything you own is mine. And I don't, now that I'm older, I see it differently. I think in many ways this was just their understanding of how to raise a child. I was probably ADHD before that was ever identified as such. And maybe a lot to handle, always curious, climbing into things, taking things apart. So everything was restricted. I wasn't allowed out of rooms or out of the yard, and kids weren't allowed in. So it took a long time to develop and maybe I still haven't developed a good way of dealing with people. I'm just real blunt. I say what I think. I ask questions. I just go there. But with my work, I became interested in reading hands. And I think that fed off of the search for self, looking at my hands and then looking later at other people's hands. And I started studying that a little bit in high school, and later on there was an opportunity to take a class at the University of Cincinnati. It was called CUMUniversity, non-credit. And it was only maybe 5 or 6 weeks, one night a week. And I was waitressing at the time, so I would go in. It was actually my work was after the class, and I would go in after the class, and there would be people there waiting for me to read their hands from what I had learned. And each week, there would be more and more people showing up to have their hands read and wanting to tip me. So I realized that there was something I could do with this, and that pulled me more into the entertainment realm. I was being offered work to entertain at parties, at events. And the greatest thing, well, I love playing dress-ups. So getting to play dress-ups as the kind of gypsy lady or, I don't know. I had different looks. Later, as I'm getting older, I'm thinking of trying to get in more to the little wise lady look.
What year was that when you were, because I've seen some of your pictures, and it definitely looks like the celebrity entertainment energy of it. What year was those, that time?
That was pretty much early 80s. I took the class in 81, and several years later, it seemed, 3 or 4 years of developing, learning, practicing, that it took off.
Do you ever have a memory of, like, what, because there's lots of things that you could have been grabbed by, I'm sure, with that whole array of things that make up who you are. Do you ever think about, like, what, inside of you that gave you that push, I guess, to reading poems?
To keep going. It was some kind of passion. It had to have been a very strong passion.
Yes.
Because I have passed up security opportunities,
yes.
Health insurance, I've had relationships. Men have not been able to handle my work in many ways. Me going out and being the star and coming back home and cleaning the bathroom.
Yeah, that can be tough for some people.
and also in this work, there was a lot of people reading hands who said that in order to do this, you had to have the gift of God. And I'm sure the gift of God is there, but it's also very analytical. It can be learned. I can teach it. You learn by doing. And one of the biggest things I also was kind of put down a little bit for doing the gypsy thing. That was like, oh, you don't go out and act like a gypsy. You'll put down the subject. And I found I learned. I would work these picnics. Some people would be the ones that were out there putting the blacktop down on the street and their families. Others would be the executives at Price Waterhouse. So I would be reading the presidents of these different companies and the workers at the bottom of these different companies. I would see all kinds of people and get their feedback. I would be telling them what I knew. They would tell me their actual stories. And over time, I would recognize, actually even from their body language, their face, and definitely from their hands, what they've been through.
And I heard you, because I can relate to it, that place of growing up, and again, you become victorious. You choose as you grow to not continue to be a victim. And I think many of us have learned that sometimes we get handed down things by those that are wounded themselves. But it still plays a part of who you are, especially when you've been told you'll never be anything. I think that was, like, it actually is what I heard my whole life. It's always been my, that wind underneath my wing. But I'm still wondering, what does that mean, really? But my wonderment is, too, because I know you. So I see you bring in the analytical. I see you bring in the fact that the hands have the messages. But I also know from my own experiences that you tap into something within yourself that is a gift that we all have, and sometimes we use it, sometimes we don't. But what was your spirituality like before you stepped into this space?
I think I've always been a seeker. So when I was a church and the library were the two places that I was allowed, besides school, that
okay.
I was allowed freedom to go to. I could okay. ride my bike to the library and check out books and get lost to them. I loved fairy tales, so I escaped often into stories. And I noticed Einstein has said that if you want to, I'm going to paraphrase it, but
right.
to increase a child's mind, give them fairy tales.
And love
I
that.
I think if I have anything special, it's the ability to connect the dots, that things, pieces go into my mind and they go together and pop out this information that I don't, some would call that intuition, and maybe that's what it really is. I think of it as connecting the dots somewhere in the abstract part of my mind. It's it out. I don't think I channel. I think it's coming from somewhere in here.
Right.
With my personality
agreed.
Attached to it.
Agreed.
When I was around 9, since everything was restricted and I was always in trouble, actually they took me to a therapist. I think maybe I was more at 11 at that point, and for a while we played with dolls and we kind of got to see where my anger was, but they didn't really, as far as I remember, do much about it. And I won't really go there at this point, but I remember there was one lady there, and it was the last time I was taken there, and she looked like Joan Crawford in one of those horror movies.
Oh my goddess.
Told me that there were places for girls like me.
Wow.
So I pretty much tried to straighten up and fly right, so
okay.
to speak. And then that time period, I was, you know, as I said, I was going to church, and I was born, and see, my mother's side of the family is Jewish, an Orthodox Jew, and my father's side is Scots-Irish, so I've got these two mystical backgrounds that I really love from my ancestors. But my mother was marrying out of the faith for the first time, I guess, in many generations, and so my brother and I didn't exist, so to speak. But I still had that, there's Jewish in me, and I was being told, because your mother's Jewish, you are Jewish. So I knew I was Jewish, whatever that meant, and I was raised by my grandparents, and my grandfather had been married a few times, and the church that he'd gone to from childhood was down the street, a Catholic church. And these nuns would come up and complain about him. He was, excommunicated.
Can't be married more than once back then.
The little kids here. And I remember being kind of afraid of them because they were talking, you know, out in front of the house about my brother and I going to go to hell, you know, because
wow.
we weren't being taken to that church. So we went to a Baptist church. That's where my grandmother took us. And at about 9, they were singing Just As I Am, and I knew I wanted to be good. I wanted not to go to hell.
Or to that place, right? That place.
Get me.
Ay.
So I went up into the front of the church and said, yes, you know, I want to do this. And I was baffled because my Sunday school teacher went by and said, are you sure? And that, I've never figured that out even to now. What do you mean, am I sure? Well, of course I'm sure. Do I get to be bad longer? You know, if I say no.
Very mixed messages, right?
It was like, yeah. I'm too young to make this decision. I became, in my teens, the youth group leader, creating a discussion group. And we went to camp, and our preacher was a seven-foot guy, and I remember about six of us girls did one of these things where you follow around a person with your two fingers, and you go to
their oh, yeah.
They are asleep and look dead, and then you pick them up, and they're going, oh, my God, what are you doing here? is this okay?
You know,
that's little girls.
They can't take the soul out of you by fear, right? Can't take the fear. It's like, you're going to do what you're going to do. I love it.
So that was kind of my journey in my teenage years. There were some things, relationships, because I dated the youth choir boy, and then he had a new girlfriend, so I just kind of left and didn't come back. I love more relationship, teenage kind of things. And many years later, I was always still a seeker, and I became involved in another church near where I lived at the time, a little Methodist church. And the minister and my then husband and his wife, not my husband's wife, but the minister's wife, we would get together at my house or his house and play cards and get into these deep conversations. And I admired his mind, but there would be a place where he stopped. And he would only quote at that point. And I could tell his mind could go deeper. My mind was going deeper. Why can't we keep going with this conversation? Why is there a stopping point right here? And I remember also I was teaching Sunday school to little kids. And the story of the day was the wall about to Jericho, walls of Jericho. And in the middle of that, reading it, I stopped and changed it. I don't remember now what we did, how we continued. But I felt that I was telling lies, and I was feeling that this wasn't a good God that I was talking about.
Wow.
Like, why would God promise somebody some land that already belonged to somebody else? And why did they have to go in and kill the people and rape the women and take mm-hmm. the gold mm-hmm. and tear down the walls and all that destruction, and it was okay? And I'm talking to the little kids and telling them that, and I didn't feel right about it, and that was the end.
So you told what felt right to you, and I imagine you weren't teaching much longer. Exactly. Right. But I love that. I mean, that's the conviction and the authenticity that you bring into the work that you do, because, you know, I just admire the fact that it is a whole array of things that bring us into what we tap into, what we know, and that certain things definitely, I think we're all gifted. Everyone on the planet is gifted. I think it's about exploring that and what it means. And I find that when I've read things that you, there's something I read that I love. I'm going to read it. I got this word. You said, correct me if I'm incorrect, but let me take your hands in mine and reflect back to what a magnificent being you already are, as well as your potential for even greater realizations and accomplishments. That's badass. Because that is like honoring who you are, where you've come from, where you're going, and you see all of that in your hand. You feel all of that. How does that work? What does that mean? Because it's deep, and I love it.
One of the things when I'm reading hands, and it's more that I'm aware of this afterwards. I am aware at the time, but there is a different state. I'm not saying I go into a trance, but I go into a state of service. That whoever I'm reading, no matter what awful things they may have done and what an awful person they may do, I'm looking at them as a human, and they may do bad things, but I can tell if they do it really well. If they're really good at
right.
what they do. If people are doing things that seem cruel, you can often see why. You can see in the markings a mix of what they've inherited genetically, what the world has done to them, and how mm-hmm. it's altered that. So the mix of the two. And you can kind of see where they've put their energy. So you can see where people have built walls and where I was telling you, like, about myself, that proving something, you'll never amount to anything. So I spent a lot of years trying to amount to something. So it takes you sometimes off your path, and sometimes it makes you work harder at your path to do that. But it's not always that's your path, is proving something to somebody else.
And that is, like, such a piece of medicine, you know, because, I mean, I just relate to it because that was a tape that I was told forever and believed it forever and still have it come in my head and have to go deep into my truth of now to realize that was then and this is now, and it really wasn't mine anyway. But I look at it now as a gift that fueled me to maybe do a lot of things to find what that meant, I'll be something, but then flowing back to just simply being is enough. And I wonder, on that note, is there, my curiosities, I don't ask you these questions when we're hanging out, but
I'm radio.
I know. No, we really don't talk about this like when we hang out. She is my partner in soul crafting, so, and a friend. But what is there a prevalent thing that arises in everybody's hands that's consistent of the human race, or is there a consistent question that you find that comes, not like a majority, is there something that you find that's repetitive that you see to be something that is a collective energy of this species of man?
The main features of the hands that I'm reading that, you know, basically do have a thumb.
Right.
And we know kind of like the little fingers, the pinky, it's little.
Right.
So, yes, there's those common things. But each thing has its own variety. The fingers can be long or short. Each section has its own length. Each crease has its own energy. Is it deep and clear? Is it fine and faint? Is it broken? Is it chained? Is it red? Is it blue or white? Patriot colors. It's...
The hand changes.
How are you holding your hands? So you could even start with that. How you're holding your hands is your mood. So if you hold your hands like somebody else's hands that you're watching, you can take on their mood. You can do it if you take on their stance, their body language. You will pick up and feel what they're feeling. So how you're holding your hands is relating to your mood. And if you hold your hands a certain way for a long, long time, so let's say you look down at your hands and you notice your ring finger wants to bend inwards. And you straighten it out, it wants to bend inwards again. Well, the ring fingers, in many ways, it's your environment, how you're interacting in the environment around you. It's also your creativity, self-expression. It's other things, how you will put yourself out there in a fiery way. But when it starts to bend and stay that way, kind of in a chronic way, something's uncomfortable in your environment that you're tolerating and that you're living with. And the middle finger, often people, when they put their hands out, they hold that one a little higher than the others. And that could be, some people all look at their hands. when you hold that one a little higher, it's a, and you know, the middle finger.
Right.
There's an attitude there. It becomes more, there's judgment, discernment. Now, if I was reading someone's hands and I see that, I would probably lean more towards the positive, but I would combine it so that they can see how it plays out. And the positive would be good discernment, judgment, strong values, standing up for yourself, not wanting to compromise your beliefs, and maybe sometimes a little, if we go into like the negative side, self-righteousness and judgmental. And if that's more relaxed, it's normal. But people with that have good judgment. So if it's a judge I'm reading, I'm pleased to see that. If it's somebody judging me, and I
exactly. Well, on that note, we're going to take a little hot second break here and going to play a little music just let you all look at your hands. Before we go to the music, I do want to give a shout out to the host of the show, Reverend Louisa Dyer. She will be here in a couple weeks doing her thing. And if you want to look at our archive shows, you can go to her website by the same name, louisadyer.com, and pick a subject. There's tons of shows that she's done before I came on board, and tons of shows we've done together up until the now. And you can also download a free meditation that will give you opportunity to go within. So, and then when we get back, we'll talk a little bit more about with Miss Lightflower. So sit back, relax. I have played this song because it's a favorite when I was a kid. I'm playing the song because it is a favorite of when I was a kid. And I think Patty and I probably both know the song really well. So kick back, look at your hands. And how can they find you right now if they want to do a little research on you? Where's the best way for them to find you?
That would be my website, ireedhands.com.
Perfect. Go there and explore, hang out, and check out the music.
Let the sun shine.
streaming at WAIF883.org. Thank you so much for being here with us today. And you are listening to Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. This is where we focus on spiritual and personal growth, practical ways to live a happier and more peaceful life, and learning how to discover and honor ourselves and live from our deepest truths. And we are here today talking with Patty Lightflower. She is a world-renowned palm reader. She's a writer, and she is spent 30 years in this energy, and we're talking to her about her spiritual path and what brought her to where she is and sharing some of her insights. So welcome back, Patty. Anything you'd like to share about your journey or about the work you do with our listeners that you feel would be, excuse me, inspirational or enlightening for them? Just anything?
Just in that moment, I've been proud of my son lately, and just in that moment, I kind of flash back to, you know, we wonder what kind of impression we make on our children. And I didn't raise him, and he didn't go to Sunday school and church, and whatever he learned would be whatever mom was in at the moment talking about, and whatever books were lying around if he asked about them, and maybe his own reading Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit.
Exactly. Magical upbringing.
And one day, I think he was about, maybe he was about 9 or 10, and I, maybe just a little bit older, maybe 13-ish, and I asked him, well, what do you do, you know, when life gets really, really tough and you're in trouble? I think he was in trouble at the time at school or something, and I was talking with him about it, and because I realized, well, I haven't taught him about prayer, really, or that there was a God to pray to, you know, other than whatever he would have picked up. I've never set him down and explained that. So I wondered, okay, what do you do? And he said, well, I just say to myself, Ryan, you got yourself into this. How are you going to get yourself out of it?
That is. That's taking full responsibility, right? I think he was taught well on that note. that is a fact. I had and made a note to make sure, because I could have you on here 100 times and still not get everything that I want to learn. But I had read something about that. I like how you have brought into your work, into your life, what's in you, your intuition, spiritual, the actual physical and analytical essence of the hand. I mean, I'm not a palm reader. I'm an intuitive, so it's kind of different. You know, I really know. I've only learned about what little I know from you over this past year, which I find to be so interesting because they're on your body and these lines have meanings, of course. But you had said something about your studies of the cells, right?
Right.
And your conclusion, which this is huge, Patty, like it's so mind-blowing, because studying of the cells on your hands, on the hands, that there's a connection between goddess, God, the universe, the million names of the higher energy that brings us all together. Please tell me about that, because it's so intriguing.
That was profound to me as well.
I would imagine.
I hadn't heard of Bruce Lipton at the time. I don't think he had written his book yet. So when I read that, I was like jumping up and down trying to communicate with him. I never made contact. But I was just so excited that there was somebody else out there that I have coming from a different approach and have reached that conclusion. And here the scientist had reached that conclusion. And what was so fascinating to me I should go back. The reason I started studying hands as in more of a scientific way is because I realized I could read hands, that I was extremely accurate, which meant the hands were extremely accurate. It wasn't psychic. I was getting there in an analytical way. And I'm sure there was some intuition and insight combined in that, but I definitely was using an analysis to get my interpretations and to do my readings. And so how was I doing this? How did the hands have this on there, this information? And before I reached that point, I had been just reading. And I'd gotten to a point in a few people's hands where all of a sudden it switched over and I wasn't seeing the lines anymore. I was seeing an energy field on the outside of the hands, and that kind of like, oh, whoa, that's what the psychics are reading. Whereas I've been doing all the analysis stuff. And not long after that, I never really did get to develop that, which maybe I'm a little disappointed. It only happens once in a while that there's the right connection, the right energy. But I started discussing, the internet came into my world, the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And I found other people around the world who had similar interests. And what would also amaze me is we weren't reading hands the same. I had assumed, since I was pretty much self-taught, had read lots of hands, was accurate, that whatever else everybody else was learning had to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't imagine that we were reading the same thing and saying different things to people. So when I came in, coming from America and interacting with especially the people in the UK and other parts of Europe who had developed schools and systems, and I'm on my own, I was up against some real harsh challenges, and it was like, prove yourself, come up with evidence, show us this.
Wow.
So, okay, I already been trained. I can prove it.
Watch me.
What I've done now. So I thought, you wouldn't believe my bookcase of medical books. I've learned words.
Wow.
I studied cells. I have books that tell you how every part of the limb, and the rest of the body, but I studied the limb. And as I'm studying the cells, I'm reading about how these cells come from the area where the backbone is, at the heart. And that's the ones that come down the arms, and they go into the hands. And these cells are what they call, I think, stem cells, and they have no assignment. They don't have to do anything, or they can be everything. So they're kind of floating on down the arm. And they have to give out a signal, some kind of signal, some kind of little electronic signal that identifies them as being available. And the cells around it, if they need help, will send out a signal. So basically what's, and then they grab it. If it's, you know, okay, we'll take you and you can help build some tissue or you can help build some bone. So it becomes bone cell or it becomes tissue cell. But in order for it to become something, it basically has to say, I am. I exist. I'm here. And when I mean, it wasn't written that way in the science book.
Right, right.
It was a word differentiated or something and sending out a signal. To me, that was amazing. And you read in Bruce Lipton's book, and he talks about the cell and the outer membrane is its brain. And our skin, in so many ways, and our entire body is this outer membrane. And that we are just a bunch of cells that have agreed to work together so that we can see and we can hear, we can taste, we can walk. Everything's in agreement.
Yeah, that's, I am the biggest word, you know. Do you have anything in your life, like lessons that you've went through in your life from a little girl on up that has strengthened your own personal connection to your sense of source? Your relationship with creator, however you look at it. I mean, because I know that you have to have things in your life, not just from what you've learned, but what you've learned in your walk that brings into the work that you do that makes you different, truly, from many that just read analytically. Because I know there's more of that essence in what you do. At least that's what I see or project. But I mean, do you find that there's pieces of your life that you bring into what you do that gives you more insight and compassion?
I think my own experiences give me a lot of lessons that I learn from, and a lot of things I've gone through have helped me to have compassion and understanding and empathy and advice at times for people that come for readings, to be able to have walked in their shoes in some way. And I often know, and I think most readers have experienced this, that it's just the way energy is. When you're dealing with something, you're going to get a whole bunch of people come to you,
mm-hmm,
that are dealing with some aspect. It might not be your side of it.
Exactly.
It might be the other side of it. And so sometimes I'm wondering if whose reading is this for and who should give you the money.
Well, you know, it is an exchange of energy on all levels, right? We're always a teacher and student probably the entire time, even though we might think we're more of a student or more of a teacher. But the older I get, I'm pretty much aware that I am completely in duality and oneness between teacher and student and everything I do, which is crazy. Do you feel like when you can look at someone's hands, now that you've been reading hands, have you looked at your hands and mapped out your life?
I think I can do that better with astrology than my hands.
Yeah.
Going back and looking at the transits. One of the things about spirituality, and I find that reading hands has actually increased my spirituality, I've lost my faith in religion. I think religion's not a good thing. It leads to wars.
Yeah.
Us versus them kind of.
Separation. Control.
But it has increased my sense and belief in an afterlife and deeper meaning to life. People tell me stories, amazing stories, that I've said something that I've seen in their hands, and that triggers them to tell me the story. So I'm seeing it marked. I already know that I see it, and they're telling me what it is. And, for instance, one woman was telling me, I thought it was already in the past, farther in the past, because she looked older, and it really had something that just had happened in the last month or so. And she had this small child. He was a baby. I don't remember now the age, but he hadn't spoken yet, and he was old enough to be able to speak. And they were wondering if he was autistic, and they were going to have him tested. And he never laughed. So he was always just kind of quiet, not laughing, not happy. And this woman's sister was dying of cancer. And she said, when I die, I'm going to come back and be his guardian angel. I'm getting goosebumps.
Oh, I love this.
So she didn't know that her sister had died this particular night, but she woke up to the sound of noise coming from her baby's room, and he was laughing and laughing. And she went in there, and he's pointing at the ceiling, laughing. And she found out her sister had died at that time.
I got chills all the way up and down my body.
How do you not believe?
Right.
There's another story. I mean, these are kind of like ghost stories, but in a way they're more like the afterlife. And
right.
Another one was where a woman and her husband were on this trip in Florida, and she went, and her brother was on a trip. They were from this area, Cincinnati, and her brother had gone out west somewhere. And she went into the bathroom at a restaurant, and her grandparents, who had already passed away, were in there. And I don't know how she saw them. Did they look real? She said they looked real, so I don't understand totally how grandparents look in a bathroom in the restaurant.
Right.
She said they were there. And they told her brother was fine. He's with them. And it baffled her. She went back and told her husband what happened. When they got back to their hotel room, there was a message, and her brother had been killed in a car accident out west. So how do you explain this? There isn't something beyond,
exactly.
You know, it isn't just that when you're dead, you're gone.
I totally hear you, because you're right. You know, the work that you do can bring you into stories that definitely increase your understanding, I guess, of spirituality and the afterlife, where there's more than what meets the eye. And we're going to have Ms. Farr back on another time, because we are down to it. And again, you can find Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. Find us on Facebook by that name, and check in and tell us what you like and what you want to hear. And if you have a story of inspiration you want to share, let us know. I am Sage Woman. You can find me on Facebook by Sage Woman. And you can also find me, more about me, on my website, connectingwiththegoddesswithin.com. Beautiful day today. Enjoyed having my dear friend. I want to give a plug. She has been featured in a book called Living Their Soul Purposes by a beautiful woman by the name of Doris Schnetzer. Patty is featured in this book with 24 other local healers. So we're going to be having Doris on in August, so that's exciting. And Patty, any last words before we sign off? How can they find you if they want to connect with you, girl?
Call
her agent. That'd be me.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me here. And I've enjoyed getting to know you, Sage, this past year. From the beginning, I said you're the most authentic person I know. I just love the way you just so freely put yourself out there. Here I am. bundle of energy and joy and fun and wisdom and spirituality. You're very inspiring. You're motivating. And
Thank you. We're going to have a good energy of heart, love. And I will tell you, she did move my hands and said, you are exactly the way that you are. So I thought that was cool. All right, people. It's been an awesome Wednesday. My favorite hour of the week. I'm blessed to be here. Love my host of the show, the host of the show, Miss Melissa Dyer. She'll be back here doing her thing in a couple weeks. Shout out to her. And as always, we're going to end the show with Madonna, Ray of Light. So go out into the world and shine bright, because you got to be the light. That's why we're here, to be the light, be love. And just trust in yourself and know that you are here for a bigger reason. And I send you love and I send you peace. And just be you, baby. Be you.